Alkizei, The Harmful Books. The Harmful Books, Myrto's Stiff Neck, and The Silliness of Silliness. Grandfather was perfectly right when he said that all we ever had was holidays. One day, not long after that, we had sat through only two classes when, at recess, Mr. Karanasis made us gather in the schoolyard and told us to form a line. "You will not be going to your classrooms," he announced. "Instead, I am going to take you to the town square, where the entire school will learn a great and important lesson." "Do you think he's going to take us on one of those Know Your Community walks?" I asked Alexis. "Something else is going on," he answered. "The upper classes are going too. They're too big for that." When we reached the square, everything was very confusing. Right in the middle, just where the column stood with the marble lion on it, a huge bonfire was blazing.
A little beyond it, on a platform, stood the mayor, Amsterdam Picky Picky Rom, Pippitz's father, and the bishop in his vestments. People stood all around the bonfire, mostly children in groups from the schools. We couldn't figure out what was going on. Soon, two men arrived, lugging enormous sacks on their shoulders. They shoved people aside to get through. When they got close to the fire, they emptied their sacks onto it. It was books. "What are they doing?" Alexis asked the boy who was standing next to us. "They are burning the harmful books," he told us. "Let's go nearer and watch," Alexis said. Mr. Karanasis climbed up onto the platform and started to deliver a lecture. He talked about the harmful and dreadful books that poison the soul and make man criminal. We wriggled through the crowd and got close to the bonfire. You would have thought it was Saint
John's Eve, when the children light bonfires to burn the May Day wreaths and jump over them. The children from the upper classes were taking running leaps now. It was curious how the books burned. At first, when the pages caught fire, the book opened as though some invisible hand had touched it. Then, as it burned, it looked like a flower closing its petals. Soon the fire died down, and the primary school children could jump over it. But the men reappeared with their sacks and emptied them. The flames rose higher and higher. The children shrieked, "Hoopla, who can leap highest?" At the moment, while a sack was being dumped out, some of the books landed right at our feet. I started to kick one of them toward the fire, and then I stopped. I had seen that book somewhere before. It had a black binding with gold letters on the cover.
I flipped the cover open with the toe of my shoe, and then I was sure. It was one of Grandfather's ancients. Grandfather had written his signature in purple ink in all his books. I knew it at once, thick and broad, on the flyleaf. Grandfather never let anybody touch his books. How had his ancient gotten here, ready to fall into the fire? I stopped and picked it up. For a moment, I held it in my hand.
"Well, throw it," Alexis whispered to me. He grabbed the book from my grasp and flung it into the fire. "Can't you see they're watching you?"
I grew confused. From the platform, Mr. Karanasis and Picky Picky Rom were looking in my direction and saying something. I glanced around me. I could see children yelling, and even grown-ups too, and leaping over the fire. Most of the people, however, just stood there silently, their lips pressed together.
I scanned their faces one by one, certain that I would find a man with his hat brim pulled down so that it nearly hid his eyes, and with a thick mustache like a brush. Then, without even knowing why I was doing it, I started to push my way past the other children in order to back out of the ever-tightening circle which was drawing Alexis and me, standing in the front row as we were, ever closer to the bonfire. Alexis was behind me. We stood a little way beyond the crowd and caught our breath. In the air above our heads, bits of charred paper flew about like bats.
"You should have seen the look Mr. Karanasis gave you when you bent over to pick up that book," Alexis said.
When the fire went out, and they didn't have any more books to throw on it, the crowd began to break up. Mr. Karanasis said that it was too late for us to go back to school, and dismissed us.
Alexis and I set off for home. I don't know why, but I had not yet told him that the book I had stopped to pick up was one of Grandfather's ancients. When we were out of the square, I noticed Grandfather standing near the wall of a house. Alexis's father stood beside him. They did not know each other. They stood almost back to back, not speaking. Grandfather was poking with his cane at the burned paper which filled the street and the sidewalk. Alexis and I ran toward them.
"Grandfather, one of your ancients got into the fire," I said.
Grandfather nodded his head. "I know." Alexis's father turned around in surprise. "Well, Melissa, introduce me to your grandfather."
"Grandfather, this is Alexis's father."
The two of them were shaking hands even before I could finish.
"Did they take some of your books?" Alexis's father asked in a low voice.
They came this morning with their sacks, my grandfather replied. Glancing around him, Alexis's father said, they took my manuscripts as well. When we returned home, grandfather took me into his study. On the shelves, the empty holes gaped where the missing books had stood. What you saw today, Melissa, is something you must never forget as long as you live. And after I am dead, I want the places where the books were to remain empty, just to remind you. That's what my grandfather said. And for the first time in my life, from the time I was born, I suppose, I saw him sit with his back hunched and not straight up, as he always had.